Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Rivers Church.
Church, we all know the importance of closing our front doors, right? There are dangers out there. We don't want snakes to come in and spiders and mice and rats and people who may harm us and hurt us. And I read about a family from Corpus Christi in Texas in 2017 where sadly their house caught fire, on fire, and everyone perished except for their daughter. Her name is Alexis King, and the only reason she survived is because she slept with her bedroom closed and shut out danger, and it saved her life. And this is quite amazing, and it's an amazing thought. So if you shut the door, you're safe. If you shut the door on certain people, you are safe, right? I remember when we were still living in Cape Town in the 80s, we are Cape Townians, been sent up here in 1992, and I remember our chairman of the Assemblies of God, the late Reverend Nicholas Bengu, who was also chairman of the Back to God Crusade, or Africa Back to God Crusades, a fantastic evangelist. Well, he sent his son, the younger Mr. Bengu, to Cape Town on a mission, and part of that mission was to meet with Pastor Andre and I, and some of our elders. And so what happened was, the time that he arrived, we welcomed him, and in walked another gentleman we didn't know, but there were other people also that we didn't know. And then as we sat down for quite a while and we were having good fellowship and laughing and chatting, we looked at this other guy and we said to Mr. Bengu, "So who is your friend?" And he said, "He's not with me. I thought he was with you guys." And we said, "No." And then we went up to this guy and we asked him, "Why are you here?" And he said, "Well, I was outside and I saw that man come in," meaning Mr. Bengu, "and I thought if he can come in, then I can come in." And he just walked in. And we were none the wiser because we didn't know who he was. Of course, we asked him politely to leave and we shut the door and we got on with our business. The title of the message tonight is Shut the Door. As we enter the new year, I want to encourage us to shut the door on certain things in our lives so that God can do his work in us and for us, because God works behind closed doors. Ultimately, God wants the best for his people. Amen. I read about this woman in 2 Kings, and it's a beautiful passage. You may be aware of the story because you have been a believer for a long time, but it's always powerful when you get new truths from it. And the truth that I got from this passage is a new look at shutting the door. It says in 2 Kings 4 verse 1 onwards, it says, "A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha saying, 'Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my two sons, as to be his slaves.' So Elisha said to her, 'What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And she said, 'Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil.' Then he said, 'Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour into all those vessels and set aside the full ones.' So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said to her son, 'Bring me another vessel.' And he said, 'There is not another vessel.' So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, 'Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest.'" Now, perhaps you are entering this new year with a mountain of debt. Perhaps you are in a place of amazing, incredible lack. And possibly it's no, through no fault of your own. But it could also be that you lacked wisdom and now you're in the situation. I want to encourage you, because you may be saying, but Lord, I have served you and I'm faithful to you. I've stayed pure. I have done my part and look at my life. God is the God of the second chances, we heard a couple of weeks ago. And you know what I love about the story is that you don't see Elisha say to her, so tell me, how did you get into this mess? What did your husband do? Did you guys go to Sandton City and just go mad and overspend? There was none of this interrogation. And may it be that we find ourselves to be that kind of house of God, where we don't point the finger, where we help people. But I love the spirit here of Elisha, where he's not like, this is what it is, and we're going to find a way to win here. Amen. And I believe that God wants us to find a way to win as well in our situation of lack. You know, you may look at us and think we don't understand what it means to have lack. Well, I want to tell you, in our earlier years as a couple right here in Sandton, we had debt. And it wasn't a massive amount of debt, but we don't believe in debt. We are a couple who were in business and we never owed anyone anything. But there was one very small salary that we had to live on. And as I said, we came from Cape Town. And the cost of living in the 90s, I don't know about now, so it's almost 30 years we've been here, was much lower than here, but our salary didn't go up. And Pastor Andre was the kind of person who would, like, not just, you know, sit on his laurels. He wanted to study. He still studies. He locks himself, he shuts the door on me in his study, because he invests in resources and programs. Because, you know what? What we see and what we live and what we've experienced as a church is as a result of the sacrifices that he made to take money that we could ill afford to purchase books, to purchase manuals, to learn on leadership. And all that we've achieved today is because he made that sacrifice. But in order to do that, he had to work with his hands on a Monday, on his off day. And so Mondays are traditionally the off day of pastors. Pastor Andre didn't know what that meant for many years because he worked with his hands. You know, the widow looked at the little bit that she had, but she had something. And we looked at the little bit that we had, and we had something, his talent. He designed handbags. He made them by hand. There were no more machines to stitch it. It had to be stitched and cut and everything by hand. And then we sold it to the people that bought our business. It's humiliating. But if you want to keep food on the table, that's what you have to do. That's what was in our hand. Amen. And so I want to encourage you, don't just look at us now and think, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, look at these people. They talk about something they don't even know about. Like the widow, there were steps that we took, and I want to encourage you to take the same steps. And so we're going to look at what it means practically to shut the door. There are four things. Number one, shut out natural and negative voices. It's very important what voices we listen to this year. Very, very important if we want to see breakthroughs in our lives. You know, and there are people, and I don't mean to be horrible, but there are people we definitely should not be taking advice from. And we know it. And we must stop listening to those voices. Amen? In our personal financial situation as a family, we had to shut out natural voices, including our own voices, that said, let's just quit ministry. This is just too hard. We're from the Cape. Let's go back to the Cape. We're not from here. And let's start business again. And then, of course, we had family and friends who were encouraging us and said, we don't think it's right for you to live the way you are living. And, you know, we had to stop. We had to stop listening to those voices, including our own. We had to shut out negative voices from the community. You know, there was we didn't have a second car, but there was this battered up little Nissan pickup, little Bucky. 1400. I wish you could have seen what it looked like. I wish I had a photograph of it. But that was the vehicle that I was allowed to use to go and fetch my children from school if I needed to take them to the doctor. I took Simi to ballet, and I had to then obviously be in a community in Sandton where people drove very nice cars, as thank the Lord I do today by His grace. But then I didn't. And I would sit like waiting for the children, and you know, ladies would come and say, "Is that your car?" Well, you know what? We're not allowed to be proud, you know, in the kingdom of God. And I just said, "It's not actually my car, but I have use of it, and I'm very grateful." It was a rattle trap, I tell you. It was a rattle trap. So that was a negativity thing, you know, where you feel humiliated, you feel poor, you feel, you know, you feel less than. And I just want to relate that to you, because I want to help you in case you are struggling with things in your life. You know what? This woman, she did not question Elisha when he said, "You're going to pour into vessels." She didn't go to Auntie Gertie next door and speak about, you know, "Oh, you must hear what the man of God told me. Oh, my word, Gisela, you must just hear. I've got to go and get empty vessels. Where do you get such a thing? And I've got to pour the oil that I have. And, you know, you must just hear what..." No, you know what? I believe that's why he said, "Shut the door." Because there's no invitation for discussion here. There's no invitation for natural voices. There's no invitation for negative voices. Amen. You know, there will be times where people around our situations are not really concerned about our situations. They're just morbidly curious about our hardship and our loss and our difficulties, right? And sadly, you know, the enemy can use people like that to create doubt in our minds. And, you know, often the spectators around us and around our situation will attempt to discourage us and point to our past and point to our shortcomings and our failures. "And didn't you try and open a business before and it went under?" Well, you know what? As far as I remember, Walt Disney did a lot of begging and a lot of failing before he succeeded, and so many other testimonies that we can share about tonight. And so we must never forget that, you know, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, right? But against principalities and powers. And the enemy wants to come and steal from us. If God has given us a rhema word, Pastor Andre recently spoke about that, a good message to download if you want to listen to it. And he spoke about, in one of his points, the difference between the spoken word and the written word. And the spoken word is when there's a rhema word, where God speaks to you about something. It does not contradict the word of God. It lines up with the word of God. But it's a seed that you have received from God. And we know that the enemy wants to steal our seed. Because seed, when it's planted, comes forth with fruitfulness, with productivity, and there's something to show for it. And so we need to know that if God has given us a word, if He speaks to us personally about something that we should be doing, we need to shut the door on natural and negative voices. Amen. I think about Mary, the mother of Jesus, and we just celebrated Christmas. I remember reading when I was a young Christian, and I never forgot about it, where the angel spoke to Mary about the birth of Jesus, the Savior of this world, the Messiah, what He's going to achieve, what His purpose will be. And it says of her that she hid the words of the angel in her heart. It's like shutting the door on it and keeping it inside, because you can't be talking to neighbors. There are jealous women around us in this world who would say things like, "Who do you think you are? You think your son is the best?" So she hid it in her heart. And that's what I believe we've got to do at times, amen, to shut out negative natural voices. Number two, shut out fear and shut in faith. The woman shut out fear by the mere fact that she went to the man of God so that God could speak through him and help her to know what to do. You know, she ran to her strong tower. You see, the Bible says that the Lord is our strong tower. The righteous will run to it and be safe. And that's what she did. She ran to her strong tower. And she was safe. And God wants to magnify his goodness through our lack always, whatever it is. Whatever need we have, whatever shortness, shortcoming, whatever lack, God wants to magnify his goodness so that we can say, God came through for us, praise his name. We've got always a reason to worship God and thank him. Now picture this widow. She's been asked, what's in your house? When she said nothing, only a bit of oil, she was serious. There were no beds, the creditor took it. There were no table and chairs, the creditor took it. The last two things he wanted were her sons. Can you imagine it? To be sold into slavery so that she could settle her debts. But you know what? She shut out fear and she shut in faith, went to the man of God. And listen to this, when you shut in faith, little becomes much, small becomes big, empty becomes full, poverty becomes prosperity, hopelessness is turned into hope. That is the God that we serve, amen? When we run to him as our strong tower. You know, one of the breakthroughs that came to us were during our difficult time, and we're the kind of people who do not walk around hinting or telling people when we are in difficulty, because we have learned to run to our tower, our God, and we speak to him. And so what happened was this young businessman, he found out what Pastor Andre was doing. And he came to him one day with an envelope and he said, I'm giving you, because God told me, 12 post-dated checks. So Pastor Andre, you can put down your tools and you can pick up the word, and you can pick up your resources and focus on building God's house. Well, Pastor Andre, no. He said, no, I'm going to do it because God told me to. And we did it, and it was part of our breakthrough. Another breakthrough came where my clothes were looking very, not last year, not the year before, not the year before that, and not 2 years before that. And threadbare things and stuff like that. And, you know, the way that we worked, and I'm not saying this to you, you can feel sorry for me, okay? So the way that it worked was, every month it was someone's turn. So it was my son AD's turn, he needs a new pair of shoes. It was my son Donovan's turn, he needed a new pair of school pants. It was Simi's turn, she needs to go to the ophthalmologist, she needs new glasses. And so that is how we lived. And, you know, I shut the door behind me in my closet and went to God and said, Lord God. And then, you know, there was a woman who came and she uttered some prophetic words over our lives, which, by the way, has all come true. And one of the things she said to me, Vilma, you know what, you're going to come into a season where there will be no lack in your life. Where you'll go into your wardrobe and you will wonder what you're going to wear because you have so much choice. I think it's a testimony of major of all of us, I think. And then she said, I don't know why I should tell you this, but you know, you are going to have so many lipsticks. But the thing is, it was so personal to me because in those days I used to take a little ladies, guys, just bear with us girls, okay? You want to put me on the platform, my love. So take your little lip pencil and, you know, scrape to the bottom of your lipstick because there's about so much left when you come to the end. And that is what I used to do. And I wish you could see my handbag. You can actually look at my bag right now and see how many lipsticks that I have. Because you know what? We shut out fear and we shut in faith and we look to our provider, you know. Can I just say, you know, the bank's not our provider. You know, our uncle, our big brother, our big sister, they're not our strong tower. The government's not our strong tower. God is our strong tower. He knows what we need. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. His grace is sufficient for us. Well, what actually came was a big box of clothing, of perfume, and of makeup, because God loved me, and he heard me. My sister-in-law, Sandy, who often visits at Christmas time, she was a buyer, and she worked for Studderfitts, and she had a whole pile of sample items, and a lot of these items were imports, and they were amazing, and they, Pastor Andre, looked like a million gazillion dollars in these, and they looked good. There were things for weddings, there were things for going into a serious meeting, there were casual things, there were perfumes that I loved and some that I never even heard of, and things that I just enjoyed. And I just believe that, you know what, everyone's story looks different. The widow's situation was different to mine. Your situation is different to mine. But lack always looks the same. It always looks the same. Amen. And so we need to shut out fear and shut in faith and look to our provider. Amen. Don't look to man. Look to God. Thirdly, shut out disobedience and shut in obedience. The widow obeyed God's instructions 100%. 100%. We see Elisha tell the woman after she got the jars, now go and shut the door. And when she shut the door, that's when the oil started flowing. Amen? And if we want to see a turnaround, obey instructions. Often people come for counsel and advice, but things don't change. They stay the same. Because you tell them, according to the, we are pastoral counselors, pastorally. We take the word and we point people from the word in the way that they should go. Because we're a church after all. We're not psychologists or psychiatrists. Amen. So very often people don't obey what God says. They don't want to obey what God says. They want things their way, or they want you to reinterpret the Bible or rewrite the word of God. Well, that's never going to happen. We could never rewrite or reinterpret God's word. It's plain and simple. Amen. And the word of God is active, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword to cut through the nonsense of this world, the nonsense of this world, the spirit of this world, the philosophies and the options that the world is trying to present to us. There are no options. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and we live by what he says. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Amen? So, you know, I sometimes struggle a bit. Can I share that with you? With Christians who come and say, where in the word does it say da-da-da-da-da, or I can't do da-da-da-da-da? If it's done with a really nice, sweet attitude, like I've really tried to find a scripture, and I know it's probably in the Bible somewhere, and I can't find it. And if I know it, I'm going to help you. I'll go home, and I will look through my commentaries and see if I can help you. But if you come like this to me, where in the Bible does it tell me that I can't da-da-da-da-da-da? Then I feel like saying, I'm not going to do your work for you. If you're serious with God, you go and take the word of God. You buy a one-year Bible. You read chronologically. You go and spend time with God, amen? So that you can find who he is. Find out his heart. Find out what is important to him, amen? And realize the Holy Spirit will illuminate things to you that you didn't even know was in the word of God, amen? Do you still love me? What I love about the story is she obeyed, the oil flowed, she paid her debts, she kept her sons, she lived off the rest, and those are the rewards of obedience. Let's not only be hearers, church. Let us not only hear year in, year out, year in, year out, week in, week, month in, month out. You hear what the word says, but you don't do it. Let's be people who build our house on the rock, the Lord Jesus, our lives on the rock. Amen. We not only hearing it, but we are doing it, and we are acting on it. Amen. Number four, shout out the loud voices of unbelief. On another occasion in the book of Mark in the New Testament, where Jesus was ministering to people, and he was approached by the ruler of the synagogue and asked to come to his house so that he could pray for his sick daughter. We see this is about to happen, but I was reminded, and you may remember the time when Jesus could do no great work in his hometown. Can you remember? There was a time when Jesus went to his home. You'd think when he go to it, well, a prophet's never welcome in their own hometown. But the reality is, it says of the Son of God, God incarnate, could do no mighty work there because of the unbelief of people. Amen. Shut out the loud voices of unbelief. I'm on that point. Perhaps, thank you. Well, here we are. Jesus is in another situation, but this is how he handled the unbelief of people. Mark 5:35, it says, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house and said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. And he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of Jesus. You see, Jesus was selective. He knew who should be with him in the situation. And then he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult and those who wept and wailed loudly. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him. But when he had put them all outside, he took the father and the mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. Then he took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumi, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. Immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. You see, it says that Jesus put them out, meaning get out, and he shut the door, even though it doesn't say that in any of the verses that I was looking up. But it served me to know that Jesus had to put people out of his space and he had to shut the door because of the loud voices of unbelief. I'm amazed at how one moment they're wailing and crying. Talk about people not really interested in your troubles, and the next minute they're mocking and laughing at Jesus, who ended up raising that child from the dead. So if we want to see dead things come to life, or we need a breakthrough, or some type of deliverance, then we're going to have to shut the door, turn off the noise of unbelief and popular opinion. Amen? Social media, maybe, you know, I speak for myself. I love social media. I love staying connected and know what's going on, but it's becoming a bit much now because people are incredibly hateful. People are attacking the church. We are being assailed. We are being mocked and ridiculed. But you know, the reality is Jesus said, you know, if they hated me, they will hate you. And if they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. So we've got to understand that, you know, it is a fearful thing to land in the hands of the living God. We're not playing games. We have a lot of fun as Christians. We do. We rejoice. We celebrate. We love all the fun aspects. But we're actually warriors. We're actually soldiers of the cross. Amen? This is serious business. It's a spiritual war that's going on, and we've got to absolutely be aware of it. And so we need to learn how we can shut out the loud voices of unbelief. Jesus taught on prayer, as I come to a close, and spoke about the importance of shutting the door. I hope God is speaking to you. I hope God is speaking to you about little things about your own life that only you and him know about, and that you're going to make some adjustments this year that's just going to help you. In Matthew 6 from verse 5, it says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. The context of this passage is about giving in secret and praying in secret. And as much as we're going to have a public prayer meeting, there's nothing wrong with praying out loud and stuff, but the context here is that don't make a show of it. And when you go home, you don't go into your closet and shut the door and be intimate with your Father in heaven. Amen? But have what you do here, you do there. You don't just rely on worshiping God here and praying here, but you actually have that secret place where you go and you shut the door and you shut out the noise and you get together with God and you have a relationship and you have intimacy with Him. Amen. You know, it is with a shut door, not driving in the car, saying a quick SOS prayer, or running to the loo when you have a SOS moment, where God will reveal things to you. It's in the secret place where He illuminates His truth and His heart to us. That is where we get to know Him. Amen? Yeah. That's where we get, and that's when we stop asking silly questions like, where in the Bible does it say? And embarrassing ourselves, because sometimes you don't even need to have read it in the Word. You just know by the Spirit of God what is right and what is godly and what will please Him. And surely when things come our way with negative voices, loud, unbelieving voices, we can discern and say, surely that's not right. That doesn't match up with who God is. Amen. In closing, I read about a man. It must have been in the 50s or the 60s. He was visiting the States. And it said, let me explain. He went into a phone booth, and it was different to the ones that he had at home. And they don't have these anymore. Okay, so, but it serves my purpose tonight. It says, one evening a man was visiting the United States. Who was visiting the United States wanted to make a telephone call. He entered a phone booth but found it to be different from those in his own country. It was beginning to get dark, so he had difficulty finding the number in the directory. He noticed that there was a light in the ceiling, but he didn't know how to turn it on. As he tried again to find the number in the fading twilight, passers-by noted his plight and said, "Sir, if you want to turn the light on, you have to shut the door." To the visitor's amazement and satisfaction, when he closed the door, the booth was filled with light. He soon located the number and completed the call. And I believe that we need to shut the door so that the lights can go on. The light bulbs can go on. Now we can have light bulb moments in intimacy with our God, amen? And that we can also complete our call to Him. We can complete the desires of our hearts, the cries of our hearts, the needs we pray for ourselves and for those around us. Amen. And so in a similar way, when we draw aside in a quiet place to pray, we must block out our busy, dark world and open our hearts to the Father, and we'll step out of the darkness and confusion and allow God to illuminate His truths and His heart to us. The heart of God is very important to the Christian. To know what the heart of God is, amen? We will enter into communion with God. We will sense His presence. We'll practice His presence. And we will be assured of His deliverance and provision for us. So this year, let's be vigilant and shut the door on anything that will take us off course. Now, I prayed while I was preparing this message, and I prayed beforehand that God would illuminate to us what doors we are responsible to shut today and this year. Amen? Because you'll see Elisha told the woman to do it. He didn't physically go and shut the door behind her. She was responsible to shut the door on the voices, on the negativity, on the disobedience, on the unbelievers. Amen? And so maybe God is speaking to you about a door of addiction that you've been struggling with and you've tried to shut the door on before. Maybe you need to get some help with it. And when you say, I'm going to try and shut that door, but maybe my hand is just on the doorknob of that door. I haven't shut it yet, but I'm in the process of getting there. And by saying that, I'm meaning that I'm going to go for counseling, I'm going to go for help, I'm going to get a support group around me to get me through this. Perhaps it's a door of prejudice towards people and hatred. South Africa, if we want to survive, this is not how the Christians are going to take this country by storm, with the gospel and with the love of God. No prejudice, no hatred, the love of God is what's going to save our nation. Amen. Maybe you need to get off your rusty dusty and apply for a job and stop saying there's so many, how many million people are unemployed, and you just like tag yourself to that. Hey, run to your strong tower. Amen. Run to your provider. Trust God. Amen. Trust God for a praise report that will blow your mind and blow our minds. Amen. Maybe it's unforgiveness. There's a door of unforgiveness that you need to shut. And maybe a door of irresponsibility that you need to shut. Come on, grow up now. Be responsible. Honor your God. You call yourself a child of God. Look like your dad. Behave like your dad. Amen. I just want to encourage you.
We hope you have been blessed and inspired by this message.